deal with probably one of the most misused and abused teachers within the New Testament.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, good brother, I did just hit the start recording on this. So it is being recorded. I don't know if anybody else might have been recording, but if we're going to do them on Telegram, I would say we need to have somebody, you know, kind of start the recording. That way, you know, we got it. But you got it, Salakia, brother.
Of course, in the New Testament, probably the most influential educational figure, of course, would be Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our King, our Lord, who died on the cross for our repentance. However, I did not want to start with him today in the first lesson of As It Is Written. I actually wanted to deal with probably the most misused and abused teacher within the entire New Testament. That is Paul. I wanted to actually focus on Paul and just get some things out of the way when it comes to how he's viewed as a teacher. Because if you actually go into history, especially, you will see that Christianity attributes most of their doctrine today back to Paul. They actually attribute a lot of things that they teach, from the virgin birth to the Trinity to all nations can be saved. They attribute it right back to Paul, with no consideration of who Paul was, who he taught, and where he taught from. So I wanted to utilize Paul and his teachings to truly showcase how the things that Paul taught were not different from what was taught in the Old Testament, and kind of get that stronghold off of us as Tab and as Israelites in this truth, to showcase that, yes, Paul's words can be a bit confusing. He can be very poetic. And if you don't know what he's teaching from, it could be very daunting when it comes to understanding Paul's position in the New Testament. However, when we actually take our time and we go to the scriptures that he's quoting and referencing, you get so much clarity concerning Paul, and you understand Paul's letters in completion. So first things first, I wanted to start with 2 Peter chapter 3, starting at verse 15. If you got notes and pens, of course, record this. I know that Corey said that there will be scribes as well. And of course, Fate is recording, but of course, get your pens and notes out for this so you go follow along. Faye, can you read for me, King? I just want to be sure.
Connor,
the one, get for me, please, 2 Peter chapter 3 and read verse 15.
This is the book of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. An account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you.
So Paul so far has been teaching in all of his letters the suffering of Christ for your salvation and why Christ died in the first place. That's the entirety of Paul's ministry. That's what he focuses on. That is what he strives to edify people on concerning the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, according to the wisdom that has been given to him. Keep reading in verse 16.
Verse number 16, and also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things,
in every single letter that he's written, we got to echo please. So we see that in every letter that he has written so far, concerning when we get to actually get to Peter's letters, every letter that Paul has written has been to teaching Christ and how we receive salvation through his death, burial, and resurrection. Keep reading, Faith.
Okay. In which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction.
Some people who have received the letters of Paul are actually struggling with the things that he's trying to teach. Even though it's so simplistic, showcasing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the actual message and the way that he delivers it, some people cannot actually understand it once they've received it, because they're unlearned and they're unstable. So they wrestle with the things that Paul says, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So at this point, the only scriptures they could possibly be referencing are the scriptures of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, as that would be the scriptures that are recorded at this point. So they're struggling with what Paul is teaching because they don't even understand the Old Testament. So how can you possibly read the letters of somebody who's teaching from the Old Testament if you don't even understand the Old Testament? This is what Peter is trying to expound to these brothers and sisters as to why they're confused about what Paul teaches. Fade, if you can go to the book of Romans chapter 15 and read verse 4.
This is the book of Romans chapter 15, verse number 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
Through the scriptures of the Old Testament, we actually have patience and comfort. And it gives us hope because it was written for our learning. The law and the prophets were not written for you to throw away once you had Christ. No, they're there to teach you about Christ, because that's what Paul is utilizing to teach you Christ, to teach you why he died, to teach you who he died for, to teach you the entire plan from the beginning through the law and the prophets and the wisdoms and writings that can be found in the Old Testament, so that you can be taught the right way and the right doctrine. Go to the book of Romans chapter 16 and read verse 26.
This is the book of Romans chapter 16, verse number 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith.
So he's telling you right now that Christ has been revealed through the prophets by God's command. You don't get to throw away God's laws, and you don't get to act like you don't have to study the prophets if through those things Christ has been revealed according to the person you're studying. If Paul is saying Christ is revealed through the law and the prophets, the commandments of God and the words of his prophets and prophecy, how can you possibly ignore them? You would also have to study them and reference them, just as Paul, who is such an excellent teacher in the New Testament, also referenced them. Go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 1. Again, hope y'all are jotting these scriptures down. Please jot them down. If you have a pen and pad ready, jot these scriptures down. Of course, we have scribes and Fadis recording, but please write these scriptures down. Of course, after the lesson, you can ask any questions. We got that set up as well, but write down the scriptures that are being referenced. Fade, you got it. Romans chapter 7 and verse 1.
This is the book of Romans chapter 7, verse number 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law had dominion over a man as long as he liveth.
Speaking to every average Joe on the street, Paul is teaching directly to those who know the law. You cannot read Paul's letters and not know the law and the prophets, because you will not understand what he is teaching. So a lot of the confusion that comes about with Paul is that a lot of people are unlearned when it comes to the law and the prophets, and then they place their own opinions and traditions on what Paul is saying because of how it's worded, not realizing Paul told you the foundation of his teaching in the first place. I'm speaking to those who know the law. Christ is revealed by the prophets. He's telling you where he's learning from. Faye, get Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. This is the last scripture concerning this point, just to showcase Paul's foundation is clear. So read Romans chapter 1 and verse 2.
This is the book of Romans chapter 1, verse number 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets and the holy scriptures.
That's the entire point. Every single thing he's trying to reference and teach within his letters is directly in reference to the promise that was made from the beginning by the prophets in the Old Testament. So if you're going to understand Paul's position, you have to know the law and the prophets. And this lets you know this is not a new thing. Paul isn't teaching new things for people that they can't possibly understand it. No, he's referencing his people and their culture, and he's bringing it to you in the effort to teach Christ and to bring Christ to you. He's bringing your culture to you. But part of the terrible issue at this point was that Israelites were scattered abroad. Israelites were following after very carnal and wicked traditions, either adding to the law or taking away from it, or not even knowing the law in its entirety. So now he has to bring this culture back to them, and it seems new from their perspective, but he's really just referencing what God has already said through the law and the prophets. So that is what you have to study to understand what is being taught for doctrine in the New Testament. So just to be in the spirit of this lesson of as it is written, I'm going to be referring to those scriptures where he directly quotes as it is written, not only to stay linear in the actual title of the lesson, but just to be in the spirit of it, to actually go back to the Old Testament and showcase the original context and then apply that context in Paul's letters. So Fade, go to the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Just read that for me, King.
This is the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek.
Paul in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1 is showcasing his ministry. He's not ashamed of the good news of Christ. He's not ashamed of that. Christ died so that I could be actually repent and be forgiven for my sins. That's why Christ died. So I'm not ashamed of that. I'm going to teach that no matter what. Even to my death, I'm going to teach that, because this salvation has come to those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we, of course, know doctrine-wise, when it says Jew first and then to the Greek, that's talking about Israelites. The Jews is a reference to Jewry. The Greek is a reference to the Israelites who are scattered in Greek provinces. Now read verse 17, Faye.
Verse number 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith.
So here we see the first time he actually quotes a scripture directly in the letter to the Romans. We see him say, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. But the first part of the verse is very important. Let's read that. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. So he's saying that God's righteousness and standard is revealed or exposed from one belief to another belief. What is that directly referencing? The just shall live by faith. He's directly quoting this because what he's about to teach has already been referenced in the law and the prophets. So Faye, can you go to the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4?
This is the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith.
So from the beginning through the prophets, the Most High God has made a very important message clear, that you can't be a part of this unless you have faith. This is a very simple concept, and many people struggle with it, Christians and Israelites alike. But the concept is clear. You cannot hold to God's standard unless you have faith. You have to believe in God. You have to believe in the Most High and what he teaches. You have to hold on to the faith in your God, and therefore you will hold to that standard. This is what Paul is trying to teach in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. God's standard is exposed to people from faith to faith, meaning it's given to people who believe. You're given this truth when you actually believe in the Most High God. And once you have that faith, you have his standard. So once you believe in Christ, brothers and sisters in Tab, once you believe in Christ and you hold to Christ in faith, the standard is revealed to you. And you have to hold on to that standard because that's something that you have to live by. Fade, read Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 5 for me, King.
Con, this is the book of Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 5. Yea, also, because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people.
When you actually lack that faith, you start to fall in pride. When you don't believe in the Most High God, you fall into the spirit of pride. Mahalalel excellently goes into what pride actually is and what it does to you, and how it is the beginning of sin. Because what pride truly is when you deny God, you're living your life as if the Most High God does not exist. And from the moment that happens, your life just goes down to the pit of death, and it's just full of pain, sin, and torment. Fade, read verse 4 again, but stop at the semicolon.
God, and this is the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him.
So we see right here that the individual who lacks faith, his spirit is not upright in him. God taught this from the beginning. You can't do this without faith. You're not going to be able to keep the commandments of God without faith. You're not going to be able to follow after order and decency without faith. You're not going to stay in this truth unless you have faith. You see the consequences when people start to doubt and lack faith, and how quickly the dominoes fall, where they're holding one position and then all of a sudden they're at the extreme end of it and know they're out of the truth, all because of a moment of doubt. But what God was always trying to teach you from the beginning was, in order for you to follow his standard, you must believe that the God who gave you the standard in the first place is real, and he will do what he says and hold to his word. You got to hold on to that, because that's a promise that was given to you from the beginning in his word. That's what Romans chapter 1 and verse 2 is referencing, a forepromised by the prophets. So you have to believe that when those prophets taught this doctrine, that that was the truth, and it's something you should hold on to. You have to believe that the laws of God are worthwhile and something to live by and hold on to. You have to believe that Christ actually died for you and gave his life for you so that you could repent and be forgiven for your sins. Otherwise, nothing you're doing matters, and no one should care. That's the entire point of this ministry, because once you don't believe, you're just going to be puffed up and lifted up, and you're going to fall in your pride and your sin. So let me get back to Romans real quick. Again, continue to write these scriptures down. If you miss any, of course, I'll let you know at the end of the lesson. Of course, also we have the scribes doing excellent work. We also have Fade recording. So pay attention, guys. Hope y'all have your pen and pad still. We can now move on to verse 18. Fade, read Romans chapter 1 and verse 18.
God, this is Romans 1 and 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
Because this is really the point. No, I didn't have to go to Habakkuk 2 and 4 and verse 5 necessarily, because Paul taught the exact same thing word for word. Have faith in God, and if you don't, you're going to miss the standard and you're going to fall, because the standard has been set. So once you lack that faith, you are going to fall beneath the standard, and you're going to hold to the truth in unrighteousness. You're not going to actually follow after the righteousness of God. You're going to try to establish your own righteousness, which is you doing things with a lack of faith. That was the entire point of what he was trying to bring out in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. But by going to Habakkuk 2 and 4 to 5, you understand God has always taught that. You have to believe. You got to hold on to it. Once you believe, your righteousness is established. And then you know the standard, and then you can follow it. Fade, if you can, King, that has just crossed my mind, go to the book of Genesis, chapter 15 and verse 6. And do we also have another reader available? Because I don't want to burden my good brother.
I can read. That's Corey. That's out of one.
Con.
Faye, go to Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6. I just crossed my mind just now.
Con, this is Genesis chapter 15, verse number 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness.
So here we see from the beginning, the doctrine has remained the same. God actually promised something to Abraham in that moment. Just as he promised you Christ, and through Christ you could repent for your sins, Abraham was promised inheritance and wealth for himself and his descendants. And because God simply said it, he believed in it. He had faith in what God said and who God is, that he would fulfill that promise. And because he had that faith, it was counted to him for righteousness. So the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, because once you have faith in God, it is counted to you for righteousness. Once you believe in Christ, as it is written, it is counted to you for righteousness. That is the true righteousness of God, that you have faith in him and what he wants for you. So that is right there what Paul is trying to teach so far, because as he's bringing out Christ, he has to give them the understanding of why they need to believe in Christ in the first place. Because he's teaching people who have broken God's laws and can't be justified due to their sin. So he has to give them clarity of Christ, and also has to essentially inspire them to believe in Christ and explain why it's important to believe in the first place. So then as you continue through the letter, he gives emphasis to that. He gives emphasis to the fact that the people he's teaching really do need Christ, because they have been sinning against the Most High God. I don't want Corey, can you read the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 24? Start at verse 23. All right, you got it?
Con, one more time.
Book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 23.
Con, King, this is the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law dishonorest thou God.
So here we see that these individuals who are teaching the law are breaking the law and showing themselves hypocrites. And you're dishonoring God, because if you read the verses above, the question that Paul keeps asking is, how can you tell somebody not to sin and then you're sinning? Don't you think that that's dishonorable, that you're telling somebody not to commit adultery, but you yourself are an adulterer? You're telling people not to steal, but you yourself are a thief. So he's talking to lawbreakers. He's talking to people who have committed sins in the past. So the individuals he's teaching definitely need Christ's sacrifice. Otherwise, they're not justified in God. So they need to have that faith in Christ so they can move on at all and have any form of standard, period, because they've been sinning against God. And God doesn't even want to look at them. Read verse 24.
God, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written.
The name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Meaning, I gave you the law, and it was your responsibility to keep it. And you were so proud to boast in it, but then you just break it. So now you're lying, you're just putting lies on the name of your God among these nations. God's name doesn't mean anything amongst everybody else because of you. It's your fault. This is heavy stuff that he's teaching the Romans. He's literally saying the disrespect and disregard they have for me is because of you. You wicked people. You thieving, adulterous groups of people. The reason why these people can't respect me, the reason why these people don't fear my name, is because of you. Because you're supposed to represent me in what you say and what you do. But no, at this point, even though you claim to be teaching the law, you've been breaking it. And we already know that to break the law is sin. So these people have been sinning among the nations, as it is written. So he's referencing something that was already written before in the Old Testament to give you clarity of what he's talking about. So Aharon, go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, and read verse 27.
Come, that's the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20, and verse 27. Slakia. Therefore, son of man, Speak unto the house of Israel, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Yet in this your fathers have blasphemed me, in that they have committed a trespass against me.
Then what?
In that they have committed a trespass against me.
So you blaspheme God by sinning against him. You've been breaking his laws, and you've been dishonoring him. As it is written, back to the title of the room and the lesson, as it is written. So what this is showing is that, number one, the Romans are not in a spot where they can actually boast of the law. They actually do need Christ, and they do need Christ's sacrifice. But number two, what this is showing is that this is what Israelites have always done. It's nothing new. And that's really the point of this lesson, is to show you that the things Paul is saying, it's nothing new behind it. You've always done that, Israel. God has always given you things to do, and you choose not to do it. Aharon, read Ezekiel 20 and read verse 24 for me, King.
God, it's the book of Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 24. Because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes and had polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols.
This is what you've always gone after. You've always gone after idolatry. You've always gone after defiling God's rest days. You've always refused to execute his judgments and laws. So the same thing the Romans are doing is the exact same thing the Israelites during the time of Ezekiel were doing, and the time of Isaiah, and the time of Jeremiah, and Malachi, and Habakkuk, and so on and so forth, even in the time of Moses. Every time God gives you an instruction, you find a way to rebel against it. So it's within your nature. And what Paul is trying to show you is that you Romans, what you've been doing, you need Christ, because Christ came to die for you so you could repent from that. Faye, go to the book of Acts, chapter 5 and verse 31, if you can.
God, and this is the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse number 31. Him that hath God exalted with his right hand, Salakia. I'll start that from the top. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins.
So this is the message that Paul is continuously trying to give in all of his epistles, but especially the letter to the Romans. You've sinned, and your forefathers have sinned. And you sinned so greatly, you've blasphemed the name of God amongst these nations by transgressing against your God. So know, God has sent Christ according to the words of the prophets. He's fulfilled prophecy simply so you could repent and be forgiven for those sins. So what he's trying to teach in order is you have to believe in Christ. Otherwise, you won't have the standard revealed to you. Because you can only live by faith if you ever truly want to be righteous. And then he re-emphasizes to them, hey, you definitely need that faith to make you righteous, because you wicked as hell. And you love breaking God's laws. And you proud as hell too. So now you blaspheming my name while claiming to teach my law while breaking it. So you definitely need faith for your righteousness. You need Christ. You need him to repent. So let go of that boasting and pride and actually keep the law. So let's see if that is the message that Paul is trying to continue. Fade, go to Romans chapter 2 and read verse 25.
This is the book of Romans chapter 2, verse number 25. For circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision.
So the message is clear. It's remained the same according to the words of the old prophets. Israel, keep the law. Stop breaking God's laws. When you break God's laws, you blaspheme God because you're sinning against him. So stop doing that. Please keep the commandments of God. But first, you have to believe that Christ died for you, because you need to repent from your sins and be forgiven. And therefore, once that happens, God's righteousness is revealed to you. If you don't believe in Christ, you can't be justified, because you're a sinner. And you keep breaking God's laws while boasting in his law as hypocrites. So believe in Christ, hold on to that faith, and keep the law. That's the exact same message concerning the old and the new. Have faith, keep God's laws. Believe, follow his commandments. That's been the same standard throughout the Old and the New Testament. And that's what Paul is trying to communicate to them in the letter to the Romans. Fade, can you read verse 26?
God, verse number 26. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision?
Because one of the reasons why you need Christ is because under the law of Moses, there are so many things that would disconnect you from your God, because you've blasphemed your God and sinned against him. And one of those things is circumcision. If people weren't circumcised, they had all rights under the law to be exiled. So there's people who are separated simply because they're not circumcised. But what Paul is trying to show them is Christ is covering that because you believe in him. So you already have righteousness being placed on you because you believe in Christ. So if you simply just keep the commandments as is written, you'll be okay. And your uncircumcision will be counted for circumcision. That's what he's trying to expound to them, is that, fine, you're uncircumcised. You were not circumcised on the eighth day. It's a lack of the background noise, if there's any. I'll just wait for this plane to cross over. It's a lock. You gotta wait for that plane. So what he's trying to expound in verse 26 is you weren't circumcised on the eighth day. By all rights, you would be exiled. But Christ is here so that you could repent and be forgiven for that. And no righteousness can be placed on you because you believe in Christ. So if you keep the commandments, your uncircumcision will be counted as circumcision. Why would your uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? Fade, jump down to verse 28.
God, this is verse number 28 of Romans 2. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which Salakia, I'm gonna start from the top. It reads, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh.
Right here in this verse, you see that to be an Israelite or to be a Jew is not about outward things that you would do, like circumcision. That isn't what really makes you righteous, in the sense of you could get circumcised and then commit adultery the next day. So you weren't righteous at all. No, you did an outward showing of circumcision to prove to people that you could follow the culture. But then in the very next day, you stole something. The very next day, you committed murder. So what he's trying to show is that that outward showing of law keeping, that doesn't help you if you're a lawbreaker, because it's not about outward showing. Read verse 29.
Verse number 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, Salakia. I'm reading the wrong verse, my bad. Verse number 29. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
You're not proving anything to anyone but people if you get physically circumcised. But if you're keeping the commandments of God after accepting your faith in Christ, you're showing praise to the Most High. because that's who you actually want to get credit from. You want to be acknowledged and appreciated by the Most High God, not by the opinions and the traditions of men. You're supposed to care more about what God thinks. So these Romans, some of them actually were not circumcised on the eighth day, and they were cut off. But they're better off believing in Christ and therefore being able to repent from sins and then not sinning anymore. They're more justified than the Jew who's boasting in the law, was circumcised on the eighth day. And while he's teaching people not to steal, he himself is a thief. So Paul is keeping or holding on to that message. Faith in Christ, keep the commandments. He's holding on to that standard throughout this letter so far. Aharon, can you go to Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16? Because Paul did not teach anything new there either. He directly referenced the law in his teaching in Romans 2, 28 to 29. Aharon, can you get Deuteronomy 10 and verse 16, Ken?
God, it's the book of Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 16. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked.
That again, book of show.
God. It reads, circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked.
From the beginning, the Most High God has told you that you have to circumcise your heart. From the beginning, he told you, you have to stop rebelling against God inwardly. You got to stop looking inwardly to find excuses to do things you want to do, but not do what God told you to do. You have to stop doing that. You got to stop coming up with plans in your mind to break God's laws while still looking like you keeping God's laws just so you could fulfill some type of lust that you have. That got to go away. You're supposed to circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be no more stiff-necked. You have to submit to God, not just outwardly, but inwardly. That is the exact same wording that Paul used in his letter in reference to the circumcision of the heart. It's the exact same wording because Paul isn't actually teaching anything new. He's referencing what the law and the prophets did right. Aharon, can you read for me, King Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4? The book of Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4.
It's the book of Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 4. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings.
So both Moses and Jeremiah, the law and the prophets, verbatim, showcase to you, if you don't deal with the inward man, you are not going to do the right thing. So you're going to have to deal with that inward man and bring that person into submission to God's laws. You're going to have to focus on God's laws in your mind and in your actions so that you can actually serve God properly. So this is what Paul is trying to expound to the Romans. Believe in Christ because he died for you so you could repent from your sins and be forgiven. Once you do that, the righteousness of God will be revealed to you because the just shall live by faith. To lock you. Because you believe in God and you believe in his son, there is righteousness being placed on you and you have a standard that you can follow after. Step two, while believing in Christ, keep the commandments. The things you could not fulfill, the things you could not be justified for, through Christ you are justified. And through Christ, know you can keep the commandments. Because when you keep the law, your uncircumcision is counted as circumcision because you're circumcising the foreskin of your heart. So you are no more stiff-necked. You are no more dishonoring God. You are no more blaspheming his name among the Gentiles. You are no more boasting in the law while breaking it. You are actually doing what God requires while having faith. And because of that, your inward man has changed. So far, Paul has taught the exact same principle of the law and the prophets. Believe, and because you have faith, you do as God commands. So right now, Paul's teaching in Romans is very beautiful. It's very eloquent. It's very poetic. But there's a point to it, and it is very beneficial and necessary to go back to the Old Testament to understand that. Now, this will be the third, as it is written in the book of Romans. This is the third, as it is written in the book of Romans, that they reference. Faye, go to the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse 10. Brother Faye, you there?
I can get it if he can.
Oh, Salakia, I thought I was off mute. My bad. This is the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse number 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
Well, this scripture is abused. I think we all know the familiar names. This scripture right here is abused. Most Christians go to this text and this verse to teach that nobody has ever held to God's standard, and no one has ever actually done as God has required of them. Everybody has sinned, and there's no one that's ever been good. It's taken completely out of context. And so far, the message has been beautiful and quite clear. Believe in Christ and keep his commandments. That has been the very clear-cut message. So, Faye, start at verse 9 so we can give clarity to verse 10 and actually explain what Paul was trying to teach.
God, and this is Romans 3, verse number 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin.
Right here we see in verse 9 that he's explaining to the people in the capital of Rome that we've already shown that the Jews and Gentiles have been sinning. You're not better than anybody in terms of your actions. You've been sinners. You've broken God's laws. So to try to boast yourselves up or be proud or try to make yourself superior to anybody isn't going to help you, because you've been breaking God's laws. All of you have sinned. This is why we're bringing the message of Christ to you. Remember, Christ died for the repentance of sins so that you could be forgiven for them. So if you're bringing the teaching of Christ to the people, that means the people have been sinning. Because if Christ died for sinners, the people you're teaching Christ to so they could repent have sinned. And through Christ, they're given a chance to repent. So you guys shouldn't feel proud of yourselves because you know more or because you have the standard now. No, you've committed sin. So don't boast yourselves up over anybody. That's a very humble message to give to people, especially during this time as well. This is a very poignant thing to teach, even during our lifetime. Read verse 10 again, Fade, Baba Kasha.
God, verse number 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one.
So right here, he directly quotes the scripture that says, there is none righteous, no, not one. But the context, the immediate context was, you Jews and Gentiles I'm teaching have sinned. So none of you have been righteous, no, not one. That's the immediate context. But then he quotes the scripture to give emphasis to it so that you can understand this is the same message from the beginning. Aharon, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 53. And read verse 2.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 53 and verse 2. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God.
We see in Psalm 53 that the Most High God is looking down on the nations trying to understand or see if there's anybody who's actually trying to do the right thing according to what he said. Is there anybody who's actually following my commandments according to what I've given? Read verse 1, Aharon, for the context.
Okay. It's the book of Psalms, chapter 53 and verse 1. To the chief musician upon Mahalath-Mashil, a psalm of David. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good.
So at the time that Psalm 53 was written, this song was actually given to the psalm bearers to give to the people to sing. At that time, people were just breaking God's laws and doing quite abominably. They were just being evil. So Paul isn't trying to explain, Salakia. Paul isn't trying to explain or teach that every single person who's ever lived has broken God's commandments. What Paul is actually trying to teach is just as that time that Psalms was written is this time right now. Everybody's sinning and nobody wants to do the right thing. The same way how it was in Psalms 53 is the same way how it is right now for you, Romans. Nobody wants to do the right thing and no one wants to follow the righteousness of God. Read verse 3, Aharon.
God, verse 3. Every one of them is gone back. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one.
So that right there is what Paul was directly quoting. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. So at the time that Psalms 53 was written, everybody around the writer was going against the laws of God in the context of which it was written. And the same is could be said, of course, for the book of Romans as he wrote that letter. The same issues that are actually springing up during the time of Psalms 53 is the same issues with you right now. Everybody wants to break God's laws. Nobody wants to follow after the knowledge of God. Read verse 4, Aharon, of Psalms 53.
God, verse 4. Have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God.
So the people during that time, they had no knowledge of the Most High God. They were just continuously sinning. They go after their own lusts and they would not call upon God. So just as the writers of Psalms 53 had this issue, though Paul and the Romans have this issue around them as well. They're surrounded by sin. They're surrounded by iniquity. You look down upon the children of men during the time of the Romans. Everywhere is full of evil and vice. No one wants to follow after righteousness. The Romans are wicked as hell. The Greeks are demonic. The Persians are nasty. And even our own people find comfort in either adding or taking away from the laws of God. So no one around them wants to do the right thing. And on top of that, the people that I'm teaching have been sinning against God. So this is not a time period or an era where everybody is trying to do the right thing to the best of their ability. No, this is the same issue during the time of Psalms and the same issue that many prophets had to go through, which was people disobeying God and not acknowledging him in the things that they do. So that is what Paul is directly referencing when he brings that up. It's the same issues from the old coming over to the New Testament. So the same message has to be given. Repent, believe, and keep the commandments. This has been the very consistent message so far. Stop sinning, repent, have faith, and keep God's laws. Salakia, y'all, I skipped an as it is written in Romans 3, so I apologize. Let me go up to Romans chapter 3. Fade, if you're there, go up to Romans chapter 3 and read verse 4.
This is the book of Romans chapter 3, verse number 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged.
So for clarity and honesty, there is no scripture that verbatim says in the Old Testament, let God be true, but every man a liar. There's no verse in the Old Testament that says that. Paul is using his own wording based upon what has already been taught in the Old Testament. So Aharon, can you go to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32 and read verse 4? The book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, read verse 4, King. Okay?
come is the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32 and verse 4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he.
So we see this separation that existed even in the law, where the Most High God is the God of truth and he is without iniquity. This is what has always been taught, that God's doctrine is what is truth. And anything else beside that doctrine is a lie. Fade, you go to the book of Psalms, chapter 119, and read verse 151.
This is the book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 151, you said?
Okay.
God, thou art near, O Lord, and all thy commandments are truth.
So we see here that God's laws, statutes, and commandments are the truth. And that's what makes him God of truth, because his word and doctrine is opposed to lies or iniquity, as we read in Deuteronomy 32. So what Paul is trying to teach is that God's doctrine is true. So if you read the verse above, it talks about people lacking faith. And does that mean that because there's some people who lack faith that this doctrine isn't true? God forbid, because what God said is true and everything else is a lie. So hold on to what God said. Don't worry about if the brother next to you lacks faith. Don't worry about if the sister next to you starts to have doubts and leaves the faith. No, focus on the fact that the word of God is true. Let them all who lack faith fall into that category of being a liar. Let them love and make lies. Let them walk after iniquity because they don't want to believe. No, you continue to hold on to the faith in Christ. You continue to hold on to that standard of righteousness in your faith. You continue to keep the commandments of God because God said so, and God's word is the truth. Not what Aharon feels to say, not what I feel to say, not what even Adam One Corey or Maul feel to say. No, this is what God said. So hold on to what God said, and everybody else comes second. This is what Paul is trying to expound to the people. This is the book of Job, chapter 40 and verse 8. Will thou also disannul my judgment? This is the Most High God speaking. Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or cast thou thunder with a voice like him? So what he's asking Job is, are you going to deny me and try to discredit what I said to you and taught you so you can feel good about yourself? Absolutely not. You think you have the power to do that? Do you think that you have the power and means to disannul what God said so you could feel better about yourself? No, you do not. So when they lack faith, just because you feeling inklings of doubt, don't gotta be a lot, but you feeling those inklings of doubt because your brother next to you lack faith, so now you try to justify yourself in your heart. No, God is true and everybody else is a liar. God's word is the truth. That's the thing you prioritize in this faith. That's the thing you hold on to, because that's what God always taught from the beginning in the law and the prophets. This has been the clear-cut message throughout the Bible. Hold on to what God said. Live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Believe in him. Do as he commands. Paul's message is beautiful right now, and it's a message that we expound even at this time. Fear God, keep his commandments, have the faith in Christ. We say the same things because it's the same message. Believe and do as he says. Hold on to what he said, because what he said is truth. Everything else could come second. So far, Paul's doctrine, as we can see, is really no different from the Old Testament. And it's a very beautiful thing to just go through that and have that clarity, that his message really is that simple. Beyond all of the poetry, beyond all of the complicated speech and the wording he may use, it's the same message. Have faith, keep the commandments of God. Let me see. I might make this my last one for this lesson. Let me see. This is the fifth, as it is written in the letter to the Romans. Yeah, I'm going to definitely leave this one with y'all. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, Aharon, just so we can like tie this in a neat little bow, just to show you this is the overall premise he's trying to give you. Go to the book of Romans, chapter 4, Aharon, and read verse 17.
Come, it's the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
So we see so far, to summarize everything that has been brought out today, that what Paul is trying to show the Romans is that through Christ, you have a chance to repent and be forgiven for your sins. So you have to believe in Christ and therefore believe in God. Once you do that, you have a standard of righteousness given to you, because the just shall live by faith. And because that standard is given, you have to keep the commandments. Once you keep the commandments, you change yourself inwardly. And this is what God wants from you from the beginning. It doesn't matter what everybody else is saying. What matters is what God said. You don't disannul what God said. You hold on to his word. But you don't boast yourself or put yourself above your fellow brothers and sisters, because there was a time when you were a sinner. You were able to repent because of the mercy of God, not by any works that you have done. So don't boast yourself over everybody, because everybody during this time had sin. So don't do that. Acknowledge your mistakes and be humble, but have faith in Christ and keep the commandments of God. This is the summary so far of what Paul has taught in the scriptures that he's quoted. And the reason why I wanted to end with this is because Romans 4 is very, very beautiful, because it summarizes what was just taught in those other scriptures. Aharon, read Romans chapter 4 and read verse 3, if you can, King.
Con, it's the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 3. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness.
So Fade read the scripture earlier to show you why the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Because once you believe in God, it's counted to you for righteousness. So once you believed in Christ and you were able to repent through his sacrifice, you were justified in the sight of God and viewed or counted as righteous. Abraham represents that for you. His life and testimony represents that for you. This is why the scriptures that were read at the beginning of the lesson were so important, especially in Romans 15, where it says that these things were written aforetime for our learning. Abraham is the perfect example of what Paul is trying to teach them in the scriptures that he's quoting. Because we see Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, have faith in God, and it's coded to him for righteousness because of that. He believed, so he's justified. He didn't have to do anything at the start. He just had to have faith that what God said was true, and therefore he was justified. And the same is supposed to happen for you. The same is supposed to happen for me. When you believe in Christ, you're supposed to be justified in the sight of God, and he counts you as righteous, no longer acknowledging the sins you've committed. So go, Aharon, and read verse 4, and then also read verse 5.
Come, it's the book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Now to him that worketh is the reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness.
So us today and the Romans during that time, once you've sinned, it's you you're refrained from being justified from what you do. So you have to be justified by your faith first. You have to put your faith first, because that's how you're justified. How I'm justified from breaking the Sabbaths for 20 years of my life is that I believe that through Christ, God has forgiven me. I've stole things in my life. I've lied to my people in my life. I've eaten swine, all abominable things. Offended my brothers and sisters, dishonored my parents. I've done terrible things in just 22 years of life. And in any other circumstance, I should be dead. But through Christ, not so. Through Christ, I get a chance. So when you're in that position, your belief in Christ is what's justifying you. And that's what's making you righteous in the sight of God. Because the just shall live by faith. Read verse 6 of Haran.
Verse 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works.
Because if I've been a thief and a liar and a dishonorable brother who've cursed and smite my parents, how exactly am I supposed to be justified by the things that I do? I will be condemned. Brothers and sisters, gotta like meditate on that a lot more, is that you are in any other circumstance condemned for the things that you have done and said. The only reason why you're being allowed to even move forward in this truth is because of your faith in Christ and the sacrifice he made. So God isn't even counting the things that you've done on your record, because Christ is able to clean that up for you. But you got to be able to acknowledge that. You can't go about trying to establish your own righteousness. You have to acknowledge that the reason why your slate is clean is because that man died for you and suffered terrible things for you and for every Israelite who was sent. That's why he did that. So you have to be able to acknowledge that and believe in that. If you don't believe in that, if you don't live by that faith, you're proud and you're going to fall in your own righteousness and be destroyed by your own pride and sin. It's going to happen. You can't lose Christ. There was a brother who was strong in this faith. Salakia, this is just a quick sidebar. There was a brother who was strong in this faith by the name of SOG, who at that time was named Minot. He was a believer in Christ. And one little conversation destroyed his faith in Christ, and he became an Old Testament only. And then he went from an Old Testament only to not only not believing in the Bible, but believing in Luciferian practices. Spending time with people who are so degenerate in their behavior is appalling. That was the progression, because he fell in his pride. Once you let go of Christ, you're following in pride, and you're going to be destroyed for it. And I wanted to use Brother Inap as an example, because that can happen to any one of us in this room. So when Paul in Romans 1 taught about the just shall live by faith, that is not something to scoff at. That is not something to find excuses around or to try to argue and fight a Christian. Like, no, faith is it. No. Put your faith first. It's the only reason why you're here. Put it first. Aharon, read verse 7, King.
Verse 7, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered.
Because it's a blessing from the Most High God. It is not a blessing from myself. It is not a blessing from Aharon or Fade or Corey or Baal or Childi or Nikhil. It is not a blessing from any one of us in Tab that your sins are forgiven. It's a blessing from God. God chose to bless you by not acknowledging the fact that you were an adulterer or an idolater or a liar or a thief. That's God's blessing to you. So put God first in your faith. You do not get the right to put the faith down. The only reason why you're alive is because God allows it in the first place. So what makes you think you get to put the faith down? No, you're going to put the faith first and you're going to prioritize it. Aharon, jump down, King, to verse, let me see. Jump down to verse 15.
Kyle, verse 15. Because of the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression.
So he's already establishing the standard. Sin is when you break the law. So where no law is, there is no sin. So if you're a sinner, you're not receiving any of the promises. So you need to repent. You need a way to be justified. But the law doesn't give you that many options. So here comes Christ to give that for you. So whatever promises you're going to receive is not really by what you did, because you sinned. And according to the law, which works wrath, you should be destroyed. So it's by your belief in God and Christ that's really saving you. Read verse 16, Ken.
Verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all.
So what this verse is trying to teach you is there are some who kept the law and are righteous according to it. There are some who have actually followed the law and have kept it, and therefore are going to receive the promise because they kept the commandments of God solely and have not sinned. And then there's others who have sinned. And through our faith in Christ, we are justified in our righteousness and we could be brought back to the fold. So you need that faith. Read verse 17, Aharon, because this is the important part. Just read to the bracket.
God, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations.
Right there, he's directly referenced the promise that he made. We were promised kingdoms and land and wealth and power that can't even be imagined. But how exactly are the Israelites supposed to receive that if God don't even want to look at you? How exactly are you supposed to receive that if God can't even consider you? Because you want to blaspheme his name among the nations. He can't give you that promise. So you needed an oath to receive that. You needed an oath to have that. So now you have Christ. And now you have that faith. Continue reading, King.
God. Before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
So God is forgetting the iniquity you've committed so you can move on in this thing and actually receive that promise. But you have to endure. You have to keep moving forward and holding on to that faith. And I'll read verse 24, Aharon, at verse 25 myself, King. And you need to be able to continue to hold on to that faith no matter what. Because the whole point of Christ dying was so that you could be justified. Verse 24, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. So you are justified by your faith in Christ that he died for your sins. So you have to hold on to that faith. But here's the reason why I wanted to end the lesson with this. Because while believing in God, Abraham did not sin. While believing in God, Abraham kept the commandments of God. While having that faith and being imputed righteousness, he still did what God told him to do. Because if you have faith in God, you have the standard. And therefore, you'll do what he says. If you don't do what he says, you clearly lack faith. Because how exactly are you supposed to believe in a God, but you don't do what he says? It's always been the biggest issue in the world with Christianity, and with any other religion who tries to teach this Bible. How do you expect to believe in a God and you don't do what that God says? So here is Abraham being written aforetime for your learning as a righteous example of how to live. He had faith, and God called him for righteousness, but in his faith, he did what God said. Aharon, you go to the book of Genesis, chapter 26 and verse 5.
Come. It's the book of Genesis, chapter 26 and verse 5. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws.
So even while believing, he still did as God required of him. Because if you believe in your God, you would hold to his standard and do what he said. You would live by faith, and you would not sin against him. You would keep his commandments and not blaspheme his name, and you would change yourself inwardly by doing his word and holding on to it. You wouldn't be proud. You wouldn't boast yourself over your brothers and sisters. You would acknowledge that you have sinned, and the only reason why you're here is because God has blessed you with mercy and grace, that through Christ you can be justified. But in being justified with Christ, you have to keep the commandments of God. So the moral of the story for Paul so far is have faith and keep the commandments. Because that's the moral of the story for the Old Testament. Have faith and keep the commandments. So with that, I want to give all praise, honor, and glory to the Most High God, Yahweh, in the name of his son, Yahweh Shai. With that, I end the lesson for today. Part two, of course, will be next week. Any questions or comments, you could bring it to the table. I don't want Corey, I don't want Maul. If you're in here, if you want to have anything to say first, of course, now is the time. But with that, the lesson is over.
Yeah, I think it was an excellent start off lesson to not only this weekly system of lessons that we've created, but an excellent start off lesson to As It Is Written itself. To be his own brand and his household name, because this is a dope concept, because you actually get an opportunity to see what's going on in the epistles. You get an opportunity to see what's going on in the gospels, but then it gets walked back to the Old Testament, because when Paul says something like, no, there is none righteous, no, not one, you have to see what was going on in the context there. And then it goes back to Ezekiel, and you see the context there. I believe that was Ezekiel. Was that Jeremiah 4 and 4? Which one was that one, Daniel?
There's none good. That was Psalms 53.
Oh, Psalms 53. The one before that was the Ezekiel one. Yeah, so the Psalms 53 goes back to Psalms 53. Is nothing but like 5 or 6 verses in that chapter. But you can see the context there is really communicating how it's dealing with the laws of God directly. So Paul even quoting this is the support of the laws of God by him quoting it in that earlier chapter of Romans, which is dope. So you get to see the correlation there. You get to see that Paul is getting his understanding from the laws, the prophets, the writings of the Old Testament. And he's parroting these things in the generation that he's in. Just like we're parodying the things in the generation we're in. So I think it was an excellent class, King. AC just came on. I'm going to speak in a minute and make 1 or 2 points, but I want to get everybody else's opinion on it.
So, Lockie, King, you went out when you were saying like the last little bit. Can you repeat that again?
No, I just said I wanted to get everybody else's opinion on it. I was going to make 1 or 2 more points.
Oh, on the class.
Con.
I definitely believe that this class was top tier for sure. You know, that's the only word I can think about. Definitely top tier. Very much needed. Definitely got a different outlook on some scriptures that I am going to replay this class at some point within the next 1 or 2 days. Very much needed, I will say, for myself. And then, you know, just echoing the sentiments that Adewale Corey had made, you know, definitely a great kickoff to the series of classes moving forward in the lineup. So definitely all praises to the Most High, you know, for Tab, and then, you know, the good brother Danya Al for, you know, doing his thing, man. All praises.
Yeah, man, that was an excellent class. Daniela, man, you are an excellent teacher. And the future is so bright for you. I'm just blessed to be able to, you know, soak up wisdom from you. So just keep up the good work, man. And I think, like, this class is going to be so beneficial in just getting these notes in order and having them at my fingertips to just bring things together from the Old Testament and New Testament. You know, when we have these conversations, this class is going to be so beneficial. So the water for your diligence and putting this lesson together. That was a beautiful job.
Definitely informative. Definitely appreciate all the information, all the verses that came out. You made it very easy to be understood. Definitely appreciate it, man.
Salaki, Daniela, anytime you run in a room or a class, excellent points, brothers, definitely. But anytime you want to, you run in a class, you still want to have that order and control. So, brothers, sisters, when y'all coming off the mics, make sure you say Salakia, and then wait to be acknowledged by the person who's running the class, and then give your comments. So there's order. It's not going to be a, you know, two, three people coming off the mic at the same time. So make sure you say Salakia and wait till whoever's running the class calls upon you. So Daniela, if you can make sure you keep everything in order.
I want Salakia.
Go ahead. Salakia.
I heard two people, I think. Who said Salakia first?
No, I was saying Salakia for being so
Salakia. And there was a second person, I think, that said Salakia. Was that just you, Jody?
No, it was somebody else.
That was me as well. Just same thing. You know, there'd be another one.
God. Any other points from anybody else within the room? Any comments, any questions?
Salakia.
Talking about it. That was the Laurent first. You got it, King.
Yeah. No. Again, beautiful, beautiful lesson. And oftentimes very timely. And it just puts us all in a space of self-examination. We always have to turn back to that's the most important thing is, as you brought out in the lesson, in keeping the commandments, but we're doing it inwardly and checking and always being circumspect with how we're moving, how we're thinking, and how we're corresponding and communicating with the Lord by serving and doing as commanded. So, no, again, it was a beautiful lesson and just another, you know, further confirmation and really just to, you know, sit back and just meditate on, you know, the importance of Christ and truly what he means to us, because yes, we would all be dead. I mean, dead and dead. So it's just, all praises, you know, and I'm so thankful for the brethren and for and just to be in the space and just to be blessed with having eyes and ears to see and hear the truth, because without it, we all know what it looks like, and it's terrifying. You know, we hear so many conversations and just looking at the world around us, and just to kind of be able to sit back and observe the nations and the people, and just, and it's just like, it is it's a terrifying thing to be out here in this world without the understanding and protection of the Lord. So all praises for you, Daniela, and I'm proud of you, man. I am so proud of you, brother, because you are a true inspiration. And I'll rest there.
Man, brother, I appreciate that. Anybody else want to make any comments or any questions?
Salaki.
Constance, you got it.
I have a question. Going back to Romans chapter 2 and verse 24, when you were talking about the Israelites not keeping the law and they were being hypocrites, was Paul talking to the scribes, or was he talking to the Israelites as a whole?
When you go to Romans 2 and verse 24, the context starts in verse 17. He's directly referencing the people who have access to the law and are able to teach it. So he will be more so referring to leadership in Israel, like the scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law. They've been instructing in the law and they've had access to it, and they've been making themselves proud with it, but they've still been breaking the law at the same time. And you see that throughout the entirety of the Gospels, the leadership especially, who's supposed to be edifying us with the scriptures and the Torah, would consistently break the Torah for their own ends. So in context, that's who he's directly referring to. The leadership in Israel, the teachers, the scribes, the Pharisees, etc.
Kind of out of one. And I just have one more question. When we were reading Romans 1 and 16, you stated Israelites were scattered. Did you say in Greek providence?
God says, when you read verse 16, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So we know that according to prophecy, and even in the book of Acts, Christ died for the Israelites. So we know that the Jews and the Greeks here are referring to the Israelites, because that's who Christ has been sent to. And that's the entire point of Paul's ministry. So the Jews in context would be those who are from Jewry, those who've either lived in Jewry or been a part of it. And then the Greeks would be Israelites who have been scattered throughout the provinces of the Grecians. So if you look at all the places that Paul went to, you would actually notice that all of them will be considered Greek provinces. And this is the reason why these Israelites here would be called Greeks, because they've assimilated and grown up in the culture of the Greeks and have to be retaught their culture, being scattered abroad in these places.
Kind of, I don't want the water.
And the word. Anybody else? Any comments, questions? Not Corey, I think that you could make your 2 points that you said you were going to do.
Yeah, and I want to make sure everybody understand, no comments or questions means you were here, present, and you understood everything. Now, let's say if you're just still at work, you're getting off work, whatever the case may be, you're running around with the children, and you may need to see the notes, then you can be forthcoming and communicate that point. But if you're in a class, then we're understanding that you are attentive and well. All of these classes are gonna have trivias, quizzes, everything connected to it to see if you're learning anything. I don't want people to think that they're just gonna be in tab and just rep tab like it's the next Christian church. No, we're here to teach you. It's a school. So did you write down everything? If you could not write down everything, did you make sure that there's some type of person around you that has any scribal efforts? I haven't even spoke to that topic. So what I'm trying to communicate is, when you don't have questions, that means you understand the teaching. This is how school goes. So if you understand the teaching, you don't have questions. That means if we ask you questions, you have answers. I just want to make sure I tell all the brothers in the room, especially the ones who should be built up, ready to teach, that you should know everything that Daniela just taught because you have no questions. Also, all the sisters, you should know everything that Daniela just taught because you have no questions. So when questions come back to you, we'll see if you understand everything he taught. I just want to say that first. That was the first point. Second point, you know, it's always good to give an outline to Paul, how the brother Daniela did, by going to believe, if I could track it in my mind, he went to 1 Peter 3 and 15 to talk about Paul's counterpart, Peter, being a rock of the church. You know, and he had kind words about Paul, but he also talked, you know, criticized his poetry a little bit in that text. Is that Daniela? That's 1 Peter 3 or 2 Peter?
2 Peter.
Yeah, 2 Peter 3. So 2 Peter 3 and 15. So 2 Peter 3 and 15, and I think you read it down to 16 or something like that. So in that context, Peter communicates how Paul's letters are very, very hard to be understood, and it is send you towards the destruction, you know, for yourselves. And in the next following verse, matter of fact, let's just go and get it. Aharon, are you here? You still here, King?
Oh, no, all
right, get that 2 Peter 3 right quick.
Peter 3 and 1?
No, 3 and read verse 16.
God, okay. This is the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also in the other scriptures.
Yeah, so that's what the verse that we was trying to communicate, where Paul, what Peter is teaching, that Paul, hey, these letters are hard to be understood. And it's Peter was very intelligent. So you got a very intelligent individual saying, you know, hey, this is hard to understand this text. Read the next verse.
God. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness.
Right. Let me read that verse in the NIV. Look what it says. It says, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. So the scripture clearly teaches that you have to keep the laws of God. And if you are going in an angle of destruction, if you're following Paul's letters, to not keep the laws of God. So even Peter taught that in the same context that Daniela pulled. So it's important to understand that in that text, and then when the brother, I believe he went to Romans 15 and 4, I think I missed one scripture in Romans, but I know he hit Romans 1 and 2. Which was an excellent position as well to teach how not only the law, matter of fact, that's what it was. Romans 15 and 4, Romans 7 and 1, right, Daniela?
Con.
So he went to Romans 7 and 1 to show that Paul is establishing the law, and he's only communicating with the doctors of the law, people who understand it, and he's only communicating with individuals who understand prophecy according to Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Because he's coming and communicating out of the prophets. So it clearly lets you know that you have no business reading Paul's letters if you don't understand the law and the prophets. And that's why this class is beautiful as it is written.
So, brothers, I'm just telling y'all now, we're going to be 7 times harder on you guys than we are on the sisters. Sisters, it's important for you to ascribe and understand what's going on. But, brothers, it's important for you to teach whole congregations and whole families. So, you know, you're going to be on the chopping block in these classes and made a live example if you're not tuned in, asking questions, making sure you understand all things. So I just wanted to make sure that I made that point in Daniela's class first and foremost. But Daniela, you got it. Not sure if anybody got any questions now.
They do. Please bring it to the table. If you have any questions or comments, please do that. No, if you don't, if no one does, you can shut the room down. They did run a little bit late. Who was that? Salakia?
Yeah, that was me. Champion. I actually really I meant to communicate that when I spoke earlier. I was still, you know, preparing for the Sabbath when the class started. So I wasn't able to get all the notes, but you know, I was already planning to, you know, go back to the replays so I can, you know, make sure that my notes are, you know, up to par. I think that was an excellent class, and so I wanted to communicate that I was moving around trying to get prepared for the Sabbath, you know, like the first half of that. So I just want to communicate that.
God, all praises. Let me say this as well, Daniela. That's one point, and we are working on making sure we solidify the scribal team. Sisters, talk to me. In reference to making sure these lessons are scribed, I want to formulate the a clean system and team to make sure these lessons are scribed, because we have 9. So of course, and when I say 9, I mean 9 classes. 9 classes, 7 days a week, 2 days, have 2 classes apiece. Of course, one sister is not going to be able to scribe all of that. I don't care what you say. So we're going to have a balance as much as possible to create a scribal team. All who have availability come together. You know, we communicate it and we get it down, because all of these classes have to be scribed. So I've already had conversation with 2 sisters in reference to that. If I have not spoke to you about scribing, then you can speak to me about scribing, and then we can go from there. Everybody got my number. We linked in on the chats. So y'all can hit me up directly or hit the chat. Matter of fact, no, don't do that. Just hit me up directly. If you can participate at scribing these lessons, hit me up directly and hit me up with the fact that you can participate. And if you already have the schedule, what classes you will be available to scribe in. And then we'll try to create a schedule. And in reference to that, I'll roll out a template that we will always scribe in for tab. And then we will roll that out to the people. So all lessons will be scribed. So that's one point. That's one point. The second point is, when I'm in these classes, I'm learning too. So it doesn't matter, like, if I ever read these scriptures before, I'm listening to the brother and I'm tracking the brother to see where he's going. Okay, he's Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He's going to, okay, he's coming over here to Psalms 53. All right, cool. Okay, he's bringing us back to Romans. I'm tracking where he's going. He's going to Ezekiel. What he's reading there? Oh, okay, I see what point is he make. All right, bam. So I'm tracking a brother and I'm saying, oh, this is an excellent point that he just made with a boast in the law. I'm tracking a live analogy that he gave about the brother Enoch. And a lot of people don't know about this brother, but, you know, just to kind of double down on that, this brother Enoch was an excellent teacher for one of the most notorious congregations at that time, was GMS. In his popularity, you know, roughly 10 years ago. And GMS Chicago was one of the top GMS camps, especially to watch. And Enoch was a biblical instructor and leader there. So a lot of people watched him. A lot of people know about this individual, you know, who came up. We listen to the Mahalabs and the Nadiabs of today. We listen to the Ariyalas and the Yawals and the brother Yawasops of today, Priest Daniela, we all know about this individual and the teachings that he was doing over there because he was doing an excellent job. So the fact that Daniela brought him up is to say that I Enoch probably knew at least 20 to 30 times more than everybody in this room combined, and he lost the spirit. So don't ever look at these OT only brothers like, you know, that particular brother, look at him, ha ha ha. Don't look at it like that, because that brother was on fire and he knew scriptures from the front to back. As soon as you said Romans 15 and 1, he said the whole verse before you finished. He was on fire in the spirit, and then bam, the Most High God said, I don't want you no more. When coming to Clubhouse, the brother taught on the streets consistently, built that congregation up, and then came to Clubhouse and had a conversation with an OT only, and the Most High God took him out of the truth. So I just want to make sure y'all understand who we talking about and the relevance of that analogy to say you really got to pray, guard your spirit, be, you know, very excited and grateful for grace, and really have the spirit and the faith. Like that, this was an excellent lesson because it really keyed on the spiritual part of the laws. And you know, it even refined me. So I'm saying I'm paying attention and I'm tracking this brother as he's walking us through the Bible. And I will hope that you're doing the same thing, to where even if you didn't scribe the full lesson, you know, being written, you understand the points. You can quote the verses that he went to, because you're going to him too and reading and trying to see what he's saying and formulating questions and points out of it. So be interactive with the lesson. I yield.
Hey, Salakia.
Salakia. Yeah, Chody, you got it, King.
I just want to say, like when I first came into this truth, you know, I used to have Bible study with a group. You know, it was a group of people. Nobody was with a congregation. You know, we all linked up and everybody came to my house and we studied the Bible. And we got up to